Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
James, lots of questions. Let's start with this. Well, I guess let's just wipe the slate clean. Are you aware of the Sacramento Kings having a deal in place to acquire a first-round pick this year? Because apparently everyone else is.
I mean, like, yeah, there's possibilities that they can land a first-round pick. But, I mean, it just depends on what kind of first-round pick. You know, look at the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets have three picks. They have 19, 26, and 27. Mm-hmm. So, like, all first-round picks are not created equal. We've heard rumors for a while that there's, conversations with them trying to find a partner that could potentially land a first round pick in Sacramento. We've heard things of them going all the way up into the lottery. But that of course would cost them one of their bigger pieces, to move all the way up there. But like, look, until they acquire a pick, they don't have one. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure that at this point, like, in order to acquire a pick, that means that you're sending out a bigger piece than you're taking back, and that means that you're going to lose talent, but you're being compensated with a pick. And I'm not, you know, I don't know that the Kings are in a position that they can do that right now. But hey, we'll see what happens. I also, like, look, I don't think it's going to be that expensive if you're to go trade with Brooklyn, you know, because a lot of teams. They don't appreciate late first round picks, early second round picks, mid second round picks sometimes have as much value as late first round picks just because of the restrictions that are put on the players that you draft, the contract that you have to give a first round pick versus the contract that you have to give a second round pick. So we'll see.
Do you think that there's a second part of this? Do you think that they're making a play for a first-round pick to draft or to use as draft compensation or trade compensation for a bigger deal?
Well, I would say this. If you somehow acquire a 2025 first-round pick, that opens a door for you to trade your 2026 on draft night. If not, you have to wait until July 1st. So there's always a possibility of something like that where they're like, hey, let's free up what we have down the road. I just don't know. Again, like, there might be a player in this year's draft that makes sense for the Kings, but I do think that, you know, they're having really, really difficult conversations and trying to figure out who their core is moving forward and whether, you know, they're in the market to move off of a big time player and become more of a team that's, I don't want to say rebuilding as much as retooling. But, you know, again, I'm not moving on from a Malik Monk and taking back pennies on the dollar and a mid first round pick or Domantas Sabonis and, you know, again, taking back a suspect pick, unless I'm getting a whole bunch of other stuff that makes a deal make sense.
Hammer, you know, we're entering, you know, draft time, trade pick. Although one thing that isn't a must, but it's certainly something that we've talked about since the season has ended, is Keon Ellis. I stumbled across something from John Hollinger on The Athletic, and he had a pretty healthy value for Keon Ellis, like if what the Kings could sign him for, what the Kings may sign him for. And I was curious what you thought Keon Ellis's value, if the Kings just threw their hands up and said, nah, we're probably not going to do this. Go have fun, kid. What would Keon Ellis's value be on the open market?
I'm going to put him somewhere between $8 and $12 million a year. Like that's kind of the range I'd put him in. I don't think he'd get a full mid-level exception, but I might be wrong. I mean, he might be right in line at $14 million. The reason why is, contracts are going through the roof. You know, the salary cap just keeps rising. It's going up 10% every year. So like $14 million a year seems like so much, but that's like 8% of the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it, well, of a team salary, maybe even like 7% of a team salary. So I definitely think that Keon is due a raise. But everything I've heard sort of around the team, like my general feeling with them is that they kind of value the flexibility they have going into this summer. And it's not like they have like this huge amount of flexibility where they can do anything, right? They don't have... They're not a true cap space team. They're not below the salary cap, but they are. They're well below the luxury tax and well below the first apron. So what they can do is you know, take back, you know, sort of lopsided trades, or they could use their trade exception from the Kevin Huerter trade at $16.8 million and use up more of that space between the salary cap and the luxury tax and sort of go acquire pieces. Well, if you go out and you give Keon Ellis a $10 million a year deal, you're going to lose a right to that, because that's going to eat up that space that you have, that gap between the salary cap and the luxury tax. So I would not be shocked at all if the Kings picked up the option on Keon Ellis and then figured out what they want to do down the road, whether that's, 2 months from now or 6 months from now, and sort of push off the decision just a little bit. And that probably won't make Keon all that happy. I'm sure he would love to get a raise right now, and he's probably pushing for that. And there's even potential that he could say, hey, look, you didn't want to give me a raise now. I don't want to play for $2 million this year. So when we get to the end of my contract, I'm going to walk away. You know, he'll be an unrestricted free agent if they pick up his option for this year. So they have decisions to make there, but I do think that they're hoping to push off that decision. They're hoping to push off the Keegan Murray decision until they're able to do whatever they're going to do on draft night, whatever they're going to do the first couple of days of free agency, whether it's trade or signing players or any of that. So they're kind of stuck in a tough spot with them, with Keon, but they could also just work out a deal right now and have that deal go into effect next summer. So while he's a free agent right now, or while he's under contract right now, you can work out an extension and maybe give him a little bit extra on that new deal that he's going to get that makes this year feel better.
Are there any particular deals or extensions or anything that could be done with Keon that might lend itself to, you know, locking him up, but using him as a trade asset this summer?
See, that's where it gets tough, because if you're going to give him an extension this summer, but pick up the deal, the $2 million. So if he's going to have a contract extension that kicks in after this year, mm-hmm. then he becomes like a base year compensation player, and his value going in and his value coming back to the Kings like is skewed. And so that's not the best way to do it. Realistically, if the Kings pick up his option for this year, he loses a tremendous amount of trade value, because now it's kind of like the Jake LaRavia thing. You can trade him somewhere. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the same restriction where he can only get paid $5.1 million at the end of the deal. But if he gets traded somewhere, he can just wait until next summer and be an unrestricted free agent and go play wherever he wants and sign whatever deal that he can get. So it's by giving him an extension, you probably actually hurt your value in trading him because, again, the base year compensation thing. The easiest way to do it would be is if you weren't convinced on him is to opt out of the deal, sign him to a contract extension right now mm-hmm. where he would be under contract, and then after 6 months, you could turn around and trade him again. And so that would probably be the easiest way to create more value in him. But again, it's complicated and they have a lot of decisions to make, just like they do on Keegan. They can push a Keegan discussion till next summer without any problem. But for right now, like value wise, and keeping a player happy, you've got to figure that, you know, massive contract extension is coming his way. But that can change super quick if you've got other plans for this summer or if you might want to trade him. Because again, you'll get into that whole base year compensation where it's a difference between his salary today and his salary for next season. You don't just get to trade like a $9 million player with a $30 million starting salary for next year and trade him at $9 million. The NBA has a way of balancing the first this year's salary and next year's salary.
Would you push if you were in the inner circle for a Keon extension? Do you think he should be not with the idea of trading him in 6 months or anything like that? Like, would you push for the idea that Keon Ellis should be a part of this team moving forward?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look at the value of Herb Jones. Like, I don't think that there's a substantial difference between Herb Jones and Keon Ellis. Like, I don't. Like, Herb is a little bit better, but I don't, you know, again, small forward version versus shooting guard version. Like, I really like Keon Ellis. I think that defensively he's incredible, and he's only going to get better. And, you know, the reason he's going to get better is he's going to get bigger and stronger. You know, he's still a guy who's trying to grow into his, like, adult body, even though he's 25 years old. It just happens with everybody at different times. And it's tough for him over the last couple of years to put on weight, but I think he'll continue to get bigger and stronger. He continues to work on his game. He's around Sacramento a lot, trying to work on his game and trying to work with their staff. But, you know, again, it's difficult. I value him a lot more, though, than I would a player like Valanciunas. And if you're looking at the same dollar amount, basically like 10, 11 million bucks, if that's what Keon was to get, I would easily opt to move on from Valanciunas, trade Valanciunas in a way. And I really like Valanciunas. I think he's a good dude. But, you know, we're talking about a 25-year-old guy that could probably start for you for the next decade in Keon Ellis. And, you know, Valanciunas is in his 30s.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent.
That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
So in that respect, James, out of those three guys that I talk about often that I think can be a little redundant, Monk, Devin Carter, and Keon Ellis, you would be sold only on Keon Ellis, right? Like, it's, like, I know you like the other players too, but like, if you had to keep a guy, Keon Ellis would be, you know, written in stone, and then I'll see what I could do with the other two.
Well, I don't really think of Monk and Keon Ellis as redundant. I do think of Devin Carter and Keon Ellis as redundant. Monk is, you know, the best six man in the game. You know, he's not a true point guard, but he's like Lou Williams. You know, he's a dude that can play for years and years in this league, providing a big time scoring punch, but also his ability to distribute the ball in the pick and roll is elite. And so I think that there is totally a world in where Malik Monk and Keon Ellis play on the same team, and you need both of their, what they bring to the table. Even if I will continue to say, if they're both realistically, they're combo guards or shooting guards, right? And they're going to play behind Zach LaVine. But I think Monk can come off the bench and be a really effective lead guard off the bench with Keon Ellis. And I think they'd make a nice tandem off the bench. It's just, you know, how are you going to manipulate your salary cap? How are you going to bring in another guard? Because no matter what, this team has to have a point guard moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so it just makes it complicated. And that's why you typically shouldn't trade a point guard for a shooting guard. And then, you know, completely blow up one position where you have no point guards and you have, you know, an abundance of shooting guards.
So let's stay with the with us or not theme. You brought up Keegan Murray a minute ago and how that extension can be, you know, put off for another year. Of course, you risk, you know, frustration with the player. You risk frustration with the agent. You risk a lot of things when you do that. Especially for a player who was the fourth overall pick in the draft. I asked you this question about Keon. I asked you the same thing about Keegan. Should Keegan Murray get that contract extension and be a long-term component, not trade immediate trade bait, but a long-term piece for the Sacramento Kings in whatever Scott Perry is going to attempt to build here?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, like, look, when you're the value to Keegan Murray is his versatility, right? And his potential and his untapped potential that for whatever reason, the Kings decided to, you know, basically thwart his development for a year. Like, I think when we look around the league, there are a small group of players that you can think, okay, like, if I'm just going to look for undervalued players on their team that I think have more potential, like, how many players are out there in the league that are just totally underutilized and have more potential than what they've shown so far? And it's, you know, it's not simple because everyone would be chasing these guys, but Keegan is clearly on that list of players that, you know, he averaged 15 points a game in his second season. He should have taken the next logical step, which was to go to 18, and he didn't. And it wasn't his fault that he didn't take a step to 18. It's that you brought in more scorers, and then you had to change your starting lineup and add another scorer to your starting lineup, to where, you know, Keegan Murray is a guy who goes from like a potential third option to a fifth option. And, you know, that's just really, really difficult for a young player to continue to mature and grow as, you know, to show more elements of his game when he's all the way down to like 10 or 11 shots per game. And not only that, but you added a guy shooting 17 times at the small forward spot. You added Monk to the starting lineup who's shooting 13 times a game. Like, it just got really, really complicated this season. And I feel bad for Keegan, but I think Keegan's got tremendous value on the market. And if the Kings want to cash out, that's fine. They're not going to get, you know, what they think they're going to get. Mm. But what you do have there is the player is probably much better than he looks on paper. And that's because he has all the skills that you need. He's a great 3-point shooter, but hasn't shown it the last two seasons. He's been okay. And he's a great defender that can defend multiple positions. It's just, how much are you willing to spend on that type of value? And I don't know what his agent wants at this point, but I don't know what the Kings would be willing to pay. And his value to as a Monty and West player versus his value as a Scott Perry player might be completely different as well.
It's going to be real interesting, like you said, to see, well, number one, if he stays here, how they use him and what opportunities they give him, or if he's on the open market, what you might be able to get from him. Amber, I'll ask you what you see, because I all jokes aside, I do like Keegan Murray. Like, I like him. I think if you had better players around him, I think he'd be even better. That's a little different than maybe what you're saying. Like, I don't know if you should just give him the opportunities. I'd like to see him in a situation where he is your fourth option or something like that. And one of the things I say that is because I watch him play, and I never watch Keegan in anything he does. It's like, yo, you need to give him more looks.
Mm.
You need to, like, look at the way he handles the rock. Look at the way he creates. Look, like, at what he
run plays for him.
Yeah, like, give him the ball more, because I see with my eyes that he's capable of more.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thought process that he might be capable of more, but I think the, you know, to his own demerit to a certain degree, he hasn't shown it to me. Like, I don't think he can dribble that well. I don't think he can create off the bounce that well. In the open court, he's not dynamic as a finisher. There are things visually that I actually see that I'm like, I don't know where this just all of a sudden comes from, because he's getting four more shots a game. But do you see, like, things out there that maybe I'm not seeing with him?
I don't see any difference between him and Cam Johnson this season. Like, I think if Keegan Murray were to get traded to the Brooklyn Nets right now, I think he would absolutely excel. I think he'd average 18 to 20 points per game. Is he like a true, like, creation machine? No, but I mean, like, look, the guy finishes above the rim. Like, maybe you could say he wasn't a great finisher as a rookie, but I mean, how many times this year did he get blocked? Maybe twice? How many times did he miss a dunk? I bet you he's like 96% on dunks, something crazy. Like, he's not like a high flyer, if you will, but he's a player that can score at all three levels if you gave him the opportunity. It's just the creation, the ball handling that I would say maybe he's got to get a little bit better at. But when did he get an opportunity to show you that, whether he can handle, you know, creation off the dribble, or you know, because it's not like he turned the ball over a whole bunch of times. It's not like every time he put the ball on the floor, people stole it from him. And, you know, I don't think he comes from like the Rudy Gay or Jason Tatum school of dribbling where they dribble the ball up around their ear. Like he can actually handle the ball and he can play. And I just think that, again, you have a 20 attempt guy in De'Aaron Fox. You have a 17 attempt guy in DeMar DeRozan. You got, you know, 13, 14 shots for whether it's Malik Monk or Domantas Sabonis. Like at some point you run out of shots. And I think if the Kings were to walk into this season and have Keegan Murray as their starting three and have a defensive minded, like stretch four, right? And if Keon Ellis was in the starting lineup and they had some other, you know, like even if it's Keon Ellis and Zach LaVine, I think Keegan Murray can easily be your third option. You just have to make him that, and you've got to promote that to him. You can't just keep bringing in players that stymie his growth. And that's one thing that I think the Kings, you know, they had a ready-made roster for him when he got here. And year two, they gave him a little bit more. But then last season was just like a desperation year for the entire team, where it's just like, whatever happens, just roll the ball out there. Let's see what happens. And that's not the best way to bring along a young player.
So for the record, DeMar DeRozan literally ruined everything last year.
I don't think he helped anything. Like, I mean, I get what you're like. It's just a square peg in a round hole. And it's not, again, isn't about DeMar. It's about the Kings not having a system that supports the type of player that DeMar is. And then having a system where they can keep that in check and control what's happening. And then when you fire a head coach and you bring in an interim and then you trade the best player, like it created a vacuum where DeMar.
It's a lot of moving parts.
Was the answer. Yeah. And I don't think if you walked into that season, anyone thought that DeMar DeRozan would be the answer to all of the Kings' problems. That's not how that season was supposed to go. He was supposed to be a piece to a puzzle. And by the end of the season, he was the number one option on the team. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's not exactly like the recipe for success is to hand everything over to a 35-year-old, you know, like mid-range jump shooter.
Yeah, I saw. I would say this: we saw in that. I feel that playing game. That was like the worst case scenario for everybody involved. But I thought that was a microcosm of it. Well, nobody else doing nothing. Nobody, yeah. They just tossing the ball around, missing shots, not being aggressive. And DeMar was all right. I'll do it then. Fine. Like I feel if somebody would have stepped up and been as consistent as he was this year. Maybe things were a little bit different, but nobody was doing anything.
No, I get that. But also like in a weird way, like with Keegan, like I'll make a comparison here with Keegan. The Kings asked Keegan to defend everybody all season long. Right. And it clearly knocked him off his offensive game. Like he was expending so much energy defending Steph Curry one night or LeBron or Kevin Durant, name that guy he's defending. But it kind of reminds me a little bit of what I've watched with the Sacramento A's. They have Soderstrom, right? Soderstrom played first base the whole first like 30 games of the season and was raking. He was he led Major League Baseball in home runs with like 9, right? Then they brought up Nick Kurtz to play first base, and they shifted Soderstrom to the outfield.
Very good.
Like that.
Very good.
I got you. They shifted Soderstrom to left field. So Soderstrom then he goes back to first base because Kurtz got hurt and went on DL. On the season, Soderstrom has like 14 or 15 home runs. All but one of them come while he's playing at first base. When he's at first base, he doesn't have to think about everything else, and he's just hitting home runs. When he gets shifted to the left field and he's worried about playing a new position and making a mistake, it seeps into every aspect of his game and he's totally ineffective. His batting average drops, his power production drops to nothing. He's not driving in runs like he normally does. You put him back at first base, he starts hitting home runs again. It's like, hey, why is that working out? If you gave Keegan Murray one job to do and then let him be the offensive player that he needs to be, he would be perfectly fine. But he's out there doing, like, having to overthink every single game because he has to defend whoever the best player is on the opposing team. I mean, he's the guy who had to defend Jokic. Like, does that make sense? So one night he's defending Jokic and the next night he's defending Steph Curry? No, that's not the way basketball works. But that's the way the Kings have, you know, built their roster, where he's the only guy that can go out there. I mean, let's be honest, like Jake LaRavia, perfectly nice young guy, but all of a sudden he looks like the answer to all of your prayers. That shouldn't have been the case. You know, Jake LaRavia is like a, might be a league minimum player this year. He might make $3 or $4 million a year. He might get the $5 million that, you know, to sort of cap out what he can make with the Kings. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Kings just walked away from Jake LaRavia this offseason either. But the fact is, he became like your second best option to defend Jokic. Now, tell me what kind of world that makes any sense, that you built a roster where your two choices to defend the reigning MVP aren't centers. They're 2 6-foot-8 small forwards that are playing out of position. Wow. And that again, that's just like the way that this roster was incorrectly built from the beginning.
I heard two things there. I'm going to talk about them when we come back. I'm right here.
Oh, okay, I'm leaving because I can tell Kenny's using that tone. Well, I should just leave when James
two things.
All you do is bicker at James.
I heard something and two things came up.
I know exactly where you're going.
Jordan Poole.
Why don't you say one of them? Because we're on the same page.
Nope. Kenny, lambast James when we return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. You want to read that real quick since that is news that matters, which is our new slogan, ESPN 1320.
Wasn't that
news that matters?
Wasn't that Channel 3?
It might have been. I don't know. Is it still Channel 3?
No.
I was like, man, that sounds really good. I can't believe no one has used that before.
This came out about an hour and a half ago. Ross Dellinger, Yahoo, I think he's an NCAA football reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted out, NCAA Football Oversight Committee is providing to the D1 Council a recommendation not to support the waiver request from Sacramento State seeking transition into FBS. The authority to grant the waiver still remains with the D1 Council's discretion. He also says Sac State, if the waiver is granted, intends to move into FBS as an independent. Transitioning schools are normally required to hold an invitation from an FBS conference, a reason a waiver is necessary. So basically, the D1 Council is going to vote, I think, next week on whether to grant that waiver and allow Sac State to be an FBS independent. NCAA Football Oversight Committee, like you just said, is trying to say, hey, you guys should not grant this waiver to them.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of speculation on the reasons why. I don't know if it's specific to Sac State. I think there's a lot going on in college sports and college football right now, and a lot of people think that they may be feeling, the NCAA Football Oversight Committee may be feeling like, hey, we don't know what's going to happen from day to day. Like, we don't need to be adding anybody.
Or
I think they're wrong, but yeah.
Or the NCAA needs to do something just to show they still have a pulse.
Could be.
Look, we can't manage these universities. We can't manage income. We can't manage NILs. What can we manage? Well, we can block the transfer of Sac State. Do it. Okay, but why? I don't care. Just do it. We're literally the most irrelevant entity in sports. Just do something so people might think that we're relevant.
That could be the case, too. That absolutely could be the case. So a lot of things that I've read so far, this just came out about an hour ago once again, but to your point, the D1 Council, they have two other meetings that they're dealing with that could render any type of recommendation. Like on the 23rd and 24th, they have these other meetings for, I forgot exactly what it was, but they've got those more important meetings. Mm-hmm. On the 25th or 26th, they're voting on the waiver request. And from what I've read, those meetings on the 23rd and 24th may render that NCAA Football Oversight Committee's recommendation even more useless than it is right now. The sounds of it sounds like it sounds bad for Sac State, but I think it very much is like 50-50. So,
all right,
we'll follow it.
I guess we will. Do you want me to leave or do you?
No. Well, I want you to say one of the things.
No, you do. Because I know exactly where you're going. And so for those who are just tuning in, we were talking about Keon, Keegan, James's distaste for DeMar DeRozan and the way the roster was built. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And really what Keon and Keegan should be if they're on the roster moving forward. James thinks they should be on the roster. I actually agree with James, unless there's a hell of a trade proposal out there. I'll ask you before you – I'll use this as your lead-in to tell – James, whatever you want to tell him. Do you think Keegan and Keon should be on the roster next year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd love to have them both on the roster. Okay. Now I'm listening to everything though.
Yep. Yeah. Of course.
I think they're winning players and in the right situation. I think these are the type of guys that you can use to bolster your roster.
James was laying out how poorly constructed this team was, given the fact that the likes of Keegan Murray, Keon Ellis, they had to guard guys like Nikola Jokic one night. They had to guard every team. Best player on a night-to-night basis, just moving to guys. You got to have out-of-play small forwards defending the likes of Nikola Jokic, and that garnered a reaction.
Yeah, I'll start there. That's the one I'll start. Why are we paying this guy $45 million again?
That's the one I knew was on the way.
Why? If our best option is LaRavia and Murray to guard Jokic, why is number 11 making $45 million a night or a year?
$45 million a night would be crazy.
That's what Rafael Devers makes.
Yes, right. But a year is very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, look, there are a lot of players that defend Jokic well. Well, actually, I won't even say that. There are a few players that defend Jokic well.
There's Sabonis nobody. Isn't, that
and Sabonis isn't horrible at defending Jokic, but when you're going to different looks and stuff, that's when you're seeing guys like Keegan and all that stuff happen. I was looking to make sure that. One of those games that I'm talking about, Sabonis missed. He was out of action.
JV went crazy that game too, I think.
Yeah.
Nasty boy went crazy.
They lost 116 to 110, the Kings did.
Blew that lead. They were up like 20 in the third.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. The Kings aren't a good defensive team overall. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. There are times where, Sabonis has played exceptionally well against Jokic. We watched that, the year before where they beat up on the Nuggets a couple of times. But also times where Jokic is going to get over on you. The fact is, nobody should be defending Jokic by themselves. That's not the way, the league works when you have an MVP caliber player. Now, I think that, Sabonis plays Jokic way better than he plays Embiid. For sure. And Sabonis isn't a natural shot blocker. He's not a bad position defender, though. And, you look at the advanced metrics. He's not. You need more players. You need a shot blocker on this team. You need a shot blocker for years that wasn't named Hassan Whiteside. You just did. And they didn't go address that situation. They needed a shot blocker that could play alongside Sabonis. If you know that a guy has one spectacular weakness that he doesn't defend the rim, then go out and try to help him, So
I actually think I think a little. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
No,
I think
go
there
ahead.
No. There was a part two. I knew what I didn't know which I didn't know if that one was going to be part one or part two, but I knew you were going to trash Domas at some point.
Well, no, I just asked the question.
But you're a broadcast journalist.
That's all I did.
You said there were two things. That's one.
The other thing was, and neither one of them were bad, I don't think. But Keegan just might not be that guy. Like if
in what regards?
In regards of like if.
Like,
we can't say that he's this all defense first team type caliber player, and then like say like, well, he got to guard the best player all the time. That's mm-hmm. what they do. Mm-hmm. That's what they do, and that's why I'm not that worried about his points per game, because I know when you are guarding the best perimeter guy on the team every night. Yeah, you're not going to be able to score 18, 19 points per game. Like, I'd much rather have Keegan at 13, 14, 15 points a night, being a guy that guards the best threes and fours on the other team, and, yeah, do that. That's why I kind of wanted a guy like DeMar in here. I need somebody else to pick up the scoring load, because I'm not going to ask Keegan to be the number one defender and get that points per game up to 19, 20 points a night. Mm-hmm. That's asking too much of him. Mm-hmm. I like not even like dissing him. Like that's unfair to ask of him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he should be asked to guard the best player every night. And I personally don't need to see him up to 18, 19 points per game if that's what I'm asking him to do.
I would just say like, yeah, if he's just defending the best threes and fours on the opposition, that's fine. But that's not what he's doing. You know, like, do you see Jaren Jackson Jr. out there chasing Steph Curry around outside of like a switch every once in a while? No. Like, and that he's a starting power forward for Memphis and considered one of the best defensive players in the league. Like, he has to, like, they move Keegan around all over. Like, again, just look at Memphis, for example. We need you to slow down Ja. We need you to slow down Desmond Bane. He's going crazy. Like, when was the last time you saw Keegan Murray defend Santi Aldama or even Jaren Jackson Jr. for all that much of the game? They don't ask him to because they've got him running around chasing small people. And then other games, big people. It's like, oh, wait, we don't need you to defend Austin Reeves. We're not worried about that. We're going to need you to go defend either Luka or LeBron.
That's your job. That's your job. No, if you're the best defender, you go guard them.
I get that, but that's not the way like every team is built, where one guy has to defend the most difficult player on the opposition every single night. And I'm talking every position on the court, not just your position or the position adjacent to your position. We're talking about every single position on the floor. And I know modern basketball, there's a lot of switches and everything else. So, I mean, that's going to happen. But, like, Keegan has a tremendous amount on his plate every night. And, look, I think by lessening that, by starting two defensive players and allowing a guy like Keon to slow down a guard, you can free up Keegan to be more engaged offensively and actually have energy to do something offensively. But we'll see.
You brought up Jaren Jackson Jr. there a second ago, Hammer. What did you and Kyle Mattson, the collective insiders, what did you guys think about the Desmond Bane trade over the weekend?
I think I've got a little bit like different approach than most people on it. Like they set the market really, really high. Like, and I'm not sure that market is going to hold up for other players. And if it does, then it does. But I don't know. I mean, if you're going to go around the league and you're going to find like the one perfect guy for your team, and you think that that's Desmond Bane to fit next to Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero and even Jalen Suggs, like I do think Bane is like a really, really good fit with that team. I just don't know about giving up four first round picks and a pick swap for a guy who has never been an all-star. And might not ever be an all-star. He might be an all-star in the East, but who, you know, hasn't been an all-star. That's just, it's a lot to give up. And I get it. If you're going to be aggressive and you're going to go try to extract a player from from a team that probably didn't want to trade him at all, it's going to cost. I'm just surprised that it costs that much. And like, look, you're putting a lot of eggs in that basket. If it doesn't work out, if Desmond Bane doesn't rise to the occasion, if he doesn't make you that type of team, there's going to be a very difficult ability to get all of that back, which is what Minnesota, you know, they've actually made the conference finals twice with Rudy Gobert after the Gobert trade. But you remember there's that point where they're like, oh, we have to trade Gobert after year one because they get to the playoffs and he just gets played off the court. No one was giving him, you know, anywhere near what they gave Utah to go get him out of Utah. No one was offering four first-round picks plus a first-round pick in Walker Kessler, you know, and then I think pick swaps. Like, there's all kinds of stuff in that deal. And no one else in the league was going to give up that for Rudy Gobert, except for Minnesota. And hey, it's worked out as far as getting to the conference finals, but it hasn't worked out as far as him being able to stick on the court in crucial games because he just can't defend the perimeter. I think this is like, it's not going to be apples and oranges, but that's a lot to give up for a guy who is a very, very good scorer. But, you know, there are a lot of really good scorers in the league. And I guess that's just the guy that they centered on and were able to go get him.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
D'Lo asked a really good question earlier. Is there another guy out there that might be on the market that we didn't see, like Desmond Bane just was? Like, we've talked about so many players in the last month and a half, but not, at least me, not once did I think about or even talk about Desmond Bane, and that came out of nowhere. Is there anybody at the top of your head that, you know, might fit that bill that we're just overlooking that might be available?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's always going to be the question, right? Is there someone out there that is on a team that everyone thinks is pretty much untouchable but isn't? Or that you can just keep throwing picks at them until they say yes?
Mm.
Like the guy that I would be, if I'm the Kings, right, and I'm sitting here right now walking into this summer and I saw what they just got for Desmond Bane, I'm taking that same exact offer and I'm going to Philly and I'm asking them if they'll give up Tyrese Maxey. That's the guy that I would go after. He solves every single one of your long-term, short-term problems. He's a better defensive guard than almost anyone else at the point guard position. He's just an absolute gamer. And if you could go get him out of, you know, we're talking about, you want to find like the head of the snake, but somebody that doesn't have some weird, you know, weird issue with them. If we look at all of the players we hear about the Kings, so Trey, LaMelo Ball, who's the other point guard that they're, oh, and John Morant. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see glaring issues with all three of them. Trey doesn't play a lick of defense, although I like Trey. I think Trey could actually, in a different situation, might be better than he is offensively in Atlanta. LaMelo Ball can't stay healthy, and on top of that, like, super inefficient scorer, turns the ball over a ton. John Morant can't stay healthy and can't stop waving guns around on Instagram and keeps getting suspended, or has gotten suspended multiple times. Again, like, owed a ton of money and like unstable, if you will. Like, Tyrese Maxey's the one guy you're like, hey, I don't see any problems with Tyrese Maxey. Go give up everything. Like, whatever you have, go ahead and give it up for him if that's a direction that you would go. Now, I don't know if Philly would ever trade him, but that's where I would go. And I think there's probably one or two more players in the league that are like that aren't superstar, aren't household name superstars right now, but very well could be if given like carte blanche to run their own team. He's a guy that I just look at and go, yeah, I would go all in on Tyrese Maxey, 4 first round picks, 2 pick swaps. If they say we want 5 first round picks, like, okay, that's fine. Like, just get the deal done. But I don't know.
I think that really, that's probably, I don't know that that's ever a possible deal. I don't think it's even remotely possible this year. I think Daryl Morey's dumbass is going to try one more time to see if Joel can play professional basketball for the bulk of a season, and if that breathes any life into Paul George. Tyrese Maxey will kind of be the guy to run that whole thing, and then this is it. It's it for Joe. It's it for Paul George. And I would think if anyone in that organization has any sense, this would be it for Daryl Morey. This is your last opportunity. You did enough tanking to land 6, I think, was their pick. There was a number that they couldn't fall out of, and they got it. They were able to keep their pick.
They were in the top 4, weren't they?
Were they top 4?
Yeah. I think they got the third pick.
Did they?
Yeah.
Charlotte,
I always forget whatever happened past the Spurs and then what Charlotte's 4th, right?
Yeah, Charlotte's 4.
So Philly's Philly did move up then.
Cuz they went to commercial and Daryl Morey was,
that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Had his head on the table. Oh,
no, I'm gonna puke. Daryl Morey. But anyways, James, the point is I think they're going to hold on to that one more year. And then I don't know that Tyrese will ever be on the market. Maxey will ever be on the market, but I think this just has to be it for Philadelphia. And then once you get there, all bets got to be off. Like, you've got to figure out how you're going to construct this team, cuz you've got to figure out a way to get through this. And maybe you can't. Yep. Maybe you're just stuck with it. Maybe Tyrese just has to rot with the carcass of that roster and whoever the rookie is, whoever the third pick is. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that, though. I mean, we've heard enough about Philly looking to move up to number 2, where they would likely take Devin Harper. Is that his name?
Dylan.
Dylan Harper.
Dylan Harper. And if you're going to go up and draft Dylan Harper at number 2, that tends to make me believe that you might be looking at a different point guard down the road, or to like sort of build out your team a different way. Mm. Again, I think they've got Jared McCain. They've got a guy like Quentin Grimes. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to shop him, but if you want to move up to number two and they're telling you you don't have enough assets to move up to number two from number three, you certainly would if you made a trade with the Sacramento Kings and gave them Tyrese Maxey. You'd have all the assets. And again, throw in a couple of players, you're going to have to match salary there. But that's where I would like focus my attention. But again, like if he's not available, he's not available. You can't, the team says no and keeps saying no. You can't just keep throwing more things at him and expect them to change sort of the path they're on.
We could send a mass email to all the general managers. Look, we got four picks, two players. You pick the players. I need a point guard of a high quality. Who do you got?
We got four picks. Yeah. You pick the player. Oh, don't worry. We're getting back in the first round this year, so we got that one too.
Yeah.
What?
How? Doesn't matter. Jake Fisher said we are, so we are.
And we're telling
Where did Jake Fisher say that the Kings were moving back for sure, moving into the first round?
He said they've been telling
people. He said they've been telling people that they are acquiring a pick for this draft, a first-round pick for this draft.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's very possible. And I like the conversations I've had around the team are like, yeah, we can get into the first round, but if we're going to get into the first round, it's because we have to know that we're in love with a player, a specific player that we're like, we want to go get. And if they don't have that player in mind, or if that player doesn't fall to where they get the pick, then it's like, what are you moving up to like number 19 for? Or what are you moving up to like 23 for? Unless you really have someone in mind, very specific.
I'm just confused. How are they getting a first round pick?
I don't know. I told you, they're trading.
It's not a comfortable way.
They're trading two future first round picks and a second round pick or something.
No, it could be something like trading Malik Monk and taking back a much lesser version of Malik Monk and a first round pick.
Great. Well, we'll figure it all out together. Once Jake Fisher tells us, we'll get it.
He's going to tell us. That's one good thing about Jake.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. We appreciate you so much for being with us. We're going to head over to 102.5 if you want to come hang out with us over there. If not, make sure you're locked in. We got the NBA Finals coming up here. Coverage beginning in just about 30 minutes, and we got the Insiders beginning tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Buster Posey.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave. I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.